This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is hour number two, Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Good Monday to you. Some of you with the day off today. Others may have to be going to work, but whatever you are doing the day after the 4th of July, glad you could be with us. NBA Finals starting on Tuesday night. Phoenix hosting Milwaukee. Giannis Antetokounmpo not expected to play, at least early in this series. Maybe not at all in this series. But nevertheless, there's some angles to this. We'll get to with Lee Ellis of The Athletic, also host of the No Dunks podcast. We'll talk to him about some of the things you should be watching for as both Phoenix and Milwaukee go for the NBA championship. Look, I think these NBA finals are, look, without Giannis, I don't think they're compelling. I do think, though, that if Giannis is in this series and finds his way back in some capacity, I think it adds, obviously, another level of element to it that I think we need to sort of dissect. But if he's not, the one thing that is going to keep Milwaukee in the series is their defense. But also, look, they've been doing very well getting great production from Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton. But I don't look at a series with Atlanta that was played in those last couple of games without Trae Young, although he did return in Game 6, as an indicator on what they can do with a fully loaded Phoenix Suns basketball team. But the entire playoffs, if you look at the entire playoffs from the moment we started the postseason up until whenever these finals are completed, and with all of the injuries that we have, it still has delivered some really fascinating storylines. And I don't think that the injuries should downplay what we've seen accomplished. I'll tell you right now, I think what happened in the Brooklyn series for Milwaukee was a changer for me. Because too many times in that series, I thought, you know what, Milwaukee couldn't take advantage of James Harden being out in Game 2, for example, but played an ugly game in winning Game 3. But somehow they managed to win that series, and somehow they managed to take down a really strong Brooklyn team. And that changed my perception of that basketball team. I did the same thing with Phoenix. I did not think they'd get out of that first round series with the Lakers, and I thought Denver would be another really difficult out. They went through those two teams relatively easily. Without Kawhi, I gave Phoenix more of a chance, but I didn't in those early on series. And now we've got both of those teams in the finals. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser!
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb post-4th of July edition, a whole weekend to sort of process all the cool stories. To give you the good, the bad, and the dumb, so what is the good of the day today?
The good of the day, Reggie Bush is inching ever so closer to getting his Heisman back.
I know, I saw this. Saw this bit of news this weekend.
But, you know, it didn't come without the Heisman trust, throwing the NCAA under the bus.
Yeah, of course, but that's
which
that's
is
what
fantastic.
They do.
Basically, what the Heisman trust said, hey, if the NCAA is going to reinstate him, we will be more than happy to welcome him back to the Heisman family.
Yeah, so they're putting the onus on them.
Yeah.
Get this done. They should. I don't know why they do. They again, they're their own thing. They could say, you know what? We don't care what you do. Reggie Bush, here's your Heisman back.
Yeah.
Should have never taken
sure
it from you in the first place.
Don't you see the NCAA saying that, coming back and go, dude, you guys are your own people.
Right.
I mean, he wasn't kicked out of college, but he wasn't stripped of all the records, right?
I think he was, yeah, I think he was stripped a majority of them, but I don't know about all of them. I think there was a period of time, I think. It was one of those things where it's like from here to here.
Yeah.
You get taken away.
Because, like, I mean, USC's not national champions. They had to give back that.
The BC 2004 national championship?
Is it 2004?
Was it 2004? they had to vacate that.
Yeah.
So they had I think it was 14 victories, including that championship game. They were on a 2-year ban or something like that. So
just give it back to them.
Yeah.
God.
I know. It's a hard penalty. One of these penalties is they're penalties that basically tell you what you just saw you didn't see, right? But it's also the but that's the only way they can do it. They can when they say we have to vacate these things because there was a rule broken. Yeah, you may have had the celebration, you may have had the parade, you may have had the banner raising, you may have had all of those things, rings made, all of that. But here we are a few years later, and we're saying all of that's invalid. It's really the only thing that they can do. But the one thing they don't do is we said this last week. They don't give the second place team a victory. So whoever you beat, and then you're later determined to be well, like Louisville, for example. Louisville won the 2013 NCAA basketball championship, and they beat, like they beat Michigan. They didn't give Michigan the championship. But and the reason they I'm glad they don't do that is when if new evidence emerges that sort of gets the school off the hook or there's some sort of change of heart or whatever it is, you're not stripping a title from another school. You're just basically saying nobody won this year because the team that won it is invalid, used ineligible players to achieve this goal. But once new evidence arises, then you can just reinstate it. Right. Without saying, oh, yeah, I know we told you you're champs, but you're not champs anymore. So if you wouldn't mind taking down that banner, appreciate it. Thank you. And that's how like they didn't give the Heisman to the second place person that year.
No, which probably would have that Vince Young.
Vince Young. Yeah.
I think it might have been Vince Young and then Matt Leinart was third. Yeah. I don't know. So. But no, I mean, it's just time. You know, I mean, I know that the NCAA was just trying to cover up what they knew was going on every single campus and trying to make a statement of it. And now it doesn't matter. Now it's just like, hey, you know, you're finally letting them letting these athletes get paid, which they've been getting paid all this time. So just be gone with it. Be done with it.
Yep. Yeah. So I hope it happens for Reggie Bush. So it would be great for him.
Yep.
All right. What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, I'm going to kind of put it on us, but not 100%.
Okay.
I'm going to start it off by saying Bobby Bonilla's agent was a genius ahead of his time.
Yes, he was.
All right. Now, we know that there's throughout history, everyone's kind of had deferred payments. It's just that Bobby Bonilla's is the most pronounced because of, I think, all the situations and the team and the fact that he's getting like $1.19 million. Till 2037?
Yeah, I think a lot of people use him as the example because it was so spread out and it was way, they're going to pay him way more than the $5.9 million that they deferred.
Right. But the reason why I bring this up and say that his agent was a genius is because I didn't know this, but Bobby Bonilla is also receiving a $500,000 check every July 1st from the Orioles.
Oh! How come we never hear about that?
Right? And he will continue receiving that until 2029.
Good for this agent. Hey, listen, if I'm an athlete, this is how I go, right?
You have to start thinking about that.
Right? Like if I can turn... we talked about this on July 1st. We said, look, if you're a lottery winner, take the lump sum. But if you're a comfortable athlete that has made a lot of money and you're financially smart with it... and you get a new contract, make it so that you can make more money off it over 20 years.
Yeah. Right? I mean, why wouldn't you say you get your initial contract, which will definitely make you comfortable living? You know, I mean, say it's a couple million dollars. Say, you know, say it's like your first initial contract is like four years, 5 million, whatever. That's comfortable. You can totally live off of that, have a nice house, you know, get all this stuff. And then that next contract, spread it out.
Yeah, right.
Pull a Bobby Bonilla and just say, no, you know what, how about this? You know, I'll pay, you know, we'll play for $1.19 million and spread it out over 25 years and blah, blah, blah. But no, I had no idea that the Orioles were also paying him about half of what the Mets pay him.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Good for him.
Every July 1st, man, this guy's just, I mean, he's just rolling in money. He's like getting Scrooge McDuck money.
Yeah, and good for him because, again, it was a gamble he was willing to take that with the Mets, you know, they thought they were in some sort of investment deal that would pay off long term. And that went belly up, but he still gets his cash.
Yep.
And the Orioles have to pay too.
The Orioles have to pay too.
You ever wonder though, like how many of these are things we don't know of, like somebody getting 35 grand or so.
There's got to be more. There's got to be more.
There's just a bunch of these where it's like, all right, it's not Bobby Bonilla level, but my client gets 72 grand a year for 20 years.
I'm figuring A-Rod is in that situation, right?
I mean, oh, I got to think so.
I
absolutely
mean, 10 years, $250 million when you're playing. Or, I mean, even a second contract was more than that. Or you see some of these funny monies now, like where Manny Machado, what was it, 10 years, 330? It's like, I gotta imagine that that's spread out.
Yeah, I agree.
That it's spread out much longer than 10 years, but the contract is, your playing time is 10 years, but we'll pay you for another 25.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right, what's the bad of the day?
No, the dumb of the day. The dumb of the day is a New Jersey-based company called Rastelli's.
Rastelli's.
Yes, they sell a round hot dog patty, so you can have a hot dog burger.
Oh, no. No.
Yeah, just keep picturing that in your head. So basically, it's all the ingredients of a hot dog, but instead of doing that thin, slender link that we're all used to seeing, they do a much fatter size one.
Why does that gross me out when I don't mind hot dogs at all?
Yeah.
Why eating that bun?
I'm 100% with you.
Do you know what I mean? Why don't I like this idea?
In a pinch, haven't you had a hot dog? I've had a hot dog on a hamburger bun where I just cut it in half because you ran out of hot dog buns. Like, well, I still need a bun. I can't. I'm not going to do bread. That's just, you know, I'm civilized.
Yeah, right. No Wonder Bread bun for you.
Yeah.
Rich person.
But, I mean, basically, people are comparing it to bologna. Now, it looks a little bit different than bologna, but it's the same principle, right?
Yeah, it's totally the same principle. But why does that bother me so much? I don't know why that bothers me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at...
Like, I like hot dogs. Like, I'm absolutely fine with hot dogs. Just give me some mustard and whatnot, I'm good. But if you flatten that into a disc and put it on bread, but it's just a different, same ingredients, same everything. I'm sure it's the same taste.
Oh, I'm positive it's the same
taste.
Like
But I don't like that. You know what it is? Okay, this is my theory now. Because when I pick up a bun with meat, the shape like a burger, I want it to taste like a burger. That's not going to taste like a burger.
No.
Does that make sense?
Yes. No, absolutely.
I think that's what it is. All right, I'm seeing a photo of this. That looks terrible. No, that looks really bad. No, yeah. No. I'm not interested in that.
I mean, that's uncooked.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I get, you know, part of their...
But then again, it might be delicious.
Part of their advertising is like, hey, there's more room for grill marks. Because I love hot dogs on a grill. You know, those are, especially if you grill them right. I mean, there's some of the... It's an appetizer, really, to the main meal. Let's be honest.
Sure.
You know, you don't have a hot dog as your main meal. You're just like, well, there's a hot dog. I know I'm going to, but the burgers aren't ready yet. Let me just eat this hot dog to tie me over.
That's exactly right. That's what we did yesterday. We had a bunch of hot dogs and hamburgers, and my son and I were woofing down hot dogs until the burgers are ready.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This, I mean, now you're jeopardizing this by turning the hot dog into a meal. I don't know if we're ready for that.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not four.
Crazy. All right, Lee Ellis is coming up. There's news now that Giannis Antetokounmpo will not play until at least game three. So he's definitely been ruled out for games one and two. And then you watch, he'll play game two and then throw this story null and void. Nevertheless, we'll get Lee Ellis's thought on that coming up later on in the hour. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Batteries exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts are designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a superstar battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today, and the professional parts people can help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Last week, name, image, and likeness went down for your college athletics. You're starting to see some endorsement deals from some players. Listen, not everybody's going to be making a ton of money on this. It's obvious, right? There's star players. There's athletes that businesses are going to want to cater to. And then there's athletes that won't get any attention whatsoever. That's just the way that's going to work. But Dabo Swinney is getting a little bit of heat because he one time was so outspoken against players being paid. Now, of course, he's for this and he's excited for it. But I do think people misread. I think what he was saying was he did not want athletes to be paid by the university. You know, that may be reading a little too much in the lines, but I think he was talking about if the economics of college athletics are paying athletes directly from the school, he wasn't in favor of that. This obviously is not that whatsoever. In fact, last week we were saying how the NCAA wins this because they now don't have to pay the players. And because they don't have to pay the players, that argument of whether or not a university should be sharing the wealth based on bowl games and NCAA tournament money and all of those things that they make, that because they don't have to cut a check to the athletes. The athletes are getting their own deals by a third party, right? So there is the athlete is getting paid from some, advertiser, somebody that's willing to pay them for an appearance or whatnot, but they're not getting it from the school. So the school continues to rake in millions and millions and billions of dollars on the athletics, but they don't have to share it. And one of the big arguments that had been going on for years and years is whether or not players were entitled to a cut of that money for the events in which they are participating. So if the new television deal, for example, for the NCAA tournament, runs a certain amount of billions, the players that are participating in that, should they be getting, even if it's a small check, should they be getting something? Well, you may not even have that brought up anymore, because now players are able to get money. And now players are able to sort of make, have their own deals. I think that some of the saddest moments in covering college sports to me was this crackdown, right? Like you would see a player do something completely different. Like him and his buddies were going to start some little small business while they were in school. And the NCAA would say, nope, you can't do that. And he would like, what, it has nothing to do with it. It's like me and five other people. And they're like, nope, you can't do it because you play golf or you are a football player or you run track. It didn't matter. And the NCAA would shut it down. Remember Trevor Lawrence was trying to raise money for somebody and they shut that down too. And they had to redirect it so they didn't kill the charity, but Trevor Lawrence couldn't be involved in it. Those were the kind of things that really made people angry, right? It wasn't a kid trying to sell t-shirts with his name on it. Some of it was just, hey, my buddy and I came up with a new computer program and we're working on this. We're going to get it. We're going to file for it and create a company with it. And the NCAA said, no, I'm sorry, you're a gymnast. You can't do that. And it just seemed ridiculous and silly and sort of dumb. And what was it trying to do, right? What in the end were those laws trying to do, right? They were trying to avoid sort of the recruiting free-for-all that we're going to now see. The NCAA got nervous about that because they want to try to make sure that the athletes are all sort of, there isn't one school that's benefiting from another and whatnot. And when the name, image, and likeness started in, California, you knew it was going to trickle down to other state legislatures because they weren't going to let California get this done and they weren't going to be able to do it, right? Especially southern states, they weren't going to let California allow an athlete to make money off endorsements and they weren't. So it was, kind of doomed to fail. And when all of this started popping up and now all of a sudden you're starting to see some t-shirts and logos being made and whatnot, that's good. But it also reminds us at a time when the NCAA cracked down on things that it was the slippery slope, right? No, it was not a guy getting $10,000 to show up to sign autographs. It was a kid just trying to raise money for his mother's cancer treatments. And for whatever reason, he wasn't allowed to do that. Like those were the things that really made people angry. And it's a change. I think I don't want to say it's for the better. I don't know what this means. I think it is going to get wild in the recruiting. I think it's going to be hard for people to control, but it is a better situation because it takes this element out of college athletics that we were all really uncomfortable with. I mean, those of us who follow college athletics, cover it, talk about it. I hated those stories. I mean, absolutely hated those stories. And what else I hated, and I'll tell you, I'm not trying to give you this blanket brush like, oh, everybody cheats. There's some coaches that don't. There are some coaches that run a real strict program, right? I mean, for everything that you can say about Bobby Knight, he tried to run that program strictly as strict to the NCAA rules as possible. But the reality of it is, when you saw a school get cracked down for whatever it is, right? Payment to a player, booster payment to a player, mom got a car, dad got a whatever it may be. You always felt like, but there for the grace of God goes my school. Like, because my school is probably involved in something like this too. They just haven't gotten caught yet. Even if you have no evidence to back it up. There's just this feeling like they're all doing this, including my school, that I can't just say my school has got all of these morals. And this part of it is, and we've kind of joked about it in the past, but it's true. You don't want to lose out to a recruit because somebody slid payment under the table. But you are losing recruits because somebody was slipping money under the table. That was just the reality of the recruiting game. There was some that were legitimately recruited, and there were some that weren't. And some would never get caught because they knew how to avoid detection. One of the toughest things the NCAA had going for it is, and imagine having this for a job. Like, I'm like, God, it must be just banging your head against the wall and praying that the next hit doesn't hurt anymore. Sending investigators to these areas to talk to a college football crazy town and the citizens in it about whether or not somebody was slipping money to a recruit or a current player. Can you imagine how that must be like? I mean, you get down to the said college town, you know, State U University, and you start walking around. Hi, I'm from the NCAA. Do you mind if we talk a little bit about Sam Jones? No, click. And they didn't have subpoena power. And they knock again. Hey, I know it's day two. Do you want to shut the door? Like, it just over and over again. That's why they take so long. So when your rival is caught and they say, like, investigators are looking into payments to, you know, wide receiver so-and-so. And you're like, they got to do something. It's going to be years before they do something. Years. Because they're not going to get all that information. It's going to take a while to get that information. When you're just talking about strict under-the-table payment, good luck finding the one person that's going to spill the beans on that one. Good luck for the one guy that's like, I will meet you in the parking garage at midnight tomorrow. And they're just hidden in the corner, like deep throat, and passing a manila envelope with pictures. Like, you're not getting that. And so this takes all of that away, right? This takes all of that away. And the NCAA will say, well, we're not going to allow recruiting. Well, good luck. Good luck. But when we talk about people like Reggie Bush getting his Heisman Trophy back and things like that, like, this is the world we've wanted for a long time, for a lot of us for a long time, right? You know, whether it's Jim Tressel losing his job over tattoos or Reggie Bush not getting his Heisman or vacated victories over those of us who really cover and really love college athletics envisioned a day where all of that kind of nonsense was taken out of the sport. Right? Like real controversies, real in-depth investigations into serious allegations of serious criminal activity is what you want there to be. Not this feeling that a kid getting a $500 envelope for having a really good game against Florida, you don't need to treat that like it's Watergate. Like, we didn't need to treat that as if it was the same as an undercover, you know, sort of, you know, drugs or sexual assault or any of the serious accusations that can come. We treated those things as if those were criminal activities. They weren't. Right? They were just breaking serious NCAA rules that could cost your program. And now we're going to live in a world where that kind of silly story no longer exists. And I'm glad for it. I'm glad for it. All right, Lee Ellis will join us next. The latest, Giannis Antetokounmpo out at least until game 3, according to reports. We'll talk about this matchup in the finals between Phoenix and Milwaukee and what the Bucks will do without him and how good the Suns are playing right now. All coming up next on Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
the wake-up call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
He's one of our favorite guests because I love his energy and insight into the NBA. Lee Ellis of The Athletic joining us on a Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. How are you, my friend?
Fine, thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Of course. All right, look at these finals, and there's a report now that Giannis is at least ruled out for the first two games of this series, but Milwaukee has gotten some good production from Chris Middleton. They've gotten good production from Brooke Lopez, even Bobby Portis. But in the end, let's put the Giannis absence in some sort of perspective. We know he's a star, 28 points per game in the playoffs, but how different does Milwaukee look when he's not playing?
Well, yeah, not great. Having said that, though, they won their last two games against the Atlanta Hawks, one of those games on the road, and they played pretty well there. So, you know, the fact that they have a definitive answer that he's out is in some ways good, I guess, going forward, because they can plan and prepare without him. I think, you know, anytime there's that sort of like, is this guy going to play or is he not, it does make it a little bit harder to game plan specifically. So they know now that every other guy is going to have to step up on that team. There's going to be more shots. There's going to be, more rebounds. Guys just have to make sure they're rotating defensively and they're in their positions a little bit more. So they can at least go ahead knowing that the task is going to be significantly greater, but at least there's no uncertainty about, you know, maybe he's coming back for the next game. So in some ways, I think I think the Bucks have done the right thing by just saying, like, let's go ahead with what we've got. We've got at least two games here, you know, before we have to really, you know, let's say panic if they're down in the series. And then the longer that Giannis can have off, resting and recovering from that injury, then potentially he comes back healthier when he does play. Now, none of us really know exactly what that means in terms of how long this hyperextension is going to keep him out for long term. But obviously, I think it is better if you can get him rested up now rather than bring him back earlier and potentially losing him for the entire series. So that's the way I think the Bucks are approaching it. It's like, listen, if he comes back and plays, we need him to be able to play close to 100% rather than roll him out there and potentially risk him doing further injury. And you only have to look either at this year's playoffs with what happened there with James Harden and the Brooklyn Nets in the first round. I think Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks in the most recent round against the Bucks. Or if you want to go back a little bit further with Kevin Durant, when he came back for the Warriors against the Raptors in the finals 2 years ago, when he clearly wasn't recovered from an Achilles injury, and he came out and 5 minutes later, he ended up tearing his Achilles. So I think if you are Milwaukee, you're like, if he's not 100% and there's a serious risk here that he can do more injury or more damage to that injury, we have to at least wait until he's close to 100% before he comes back and plays, because otherwise it's not a risk worth taking. So obviously it's a blow. It's very disappointing from a fan's perspective that, the two-time MVP will be missing these first two games. But still, if you look at the way the playoffs go, you know, the Suns are sort of expected to win those first two games anyway. So it's not a disaster for Milwaukee if they don't pick up a victory in these first two games. I think more important for them is that when Giannis comes back, he's healthy, he's available to go, and he's as close to 100% as he can be.
How much do you think we'll remember this playoff run in the next few years as a very injury-riddled playoffs where serious stars miss serious time?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly, it's recency bias is making it, you know, big right now because so many all-stars and all NBA players have done it. But again, I think if you go back through the history of the NBA, oftentimes there's been, you know, some sort of injury in the finals and in the playoffs. I mean, you know, you go back to 1988, for example, one of the most famous injury moments was Isaiah Thomas game 6 against the Lakers. Remember, the Pistons were on the verge of basically winning the championship. Isaiah tries to give it a go. He comes back, has that 43-point game in Game 6. The Pistons lose, and then in Game 7, Isaiah plays, but he clearly wasn't 100%, and the Lakers go on to win that series in the championship. So, you know, I think that, and that's one example. There's been others throughout the NBA's history when it's happened. But I think because this season there's that sort of easier excuse of like, well, they came back too soon. There was far too many games. It was a compacted season that caused injuries. The NBA recently, because LeBron James kind of made comments about that on social media, and the NBA kind of shut it down saying, well, you know, statistically, injuries haven't been up this season more so than other seasons. But I think we just know that's not entirely true, because it just, we've just seen guys just dropping like flies out there. So I think that this is sort of still the coronavirus affected sort of, it's going to be a two season thing that we talk about, I think, and even maybe next season to some extent as well. But it's just it's kind of overshadowing the fact that we've got two franchises that haven't been to the finals here for, you know, I think it's 50 years for the Bucks and nearly 30 years for the Suns. And that really is a great story for the league, that we're finally getting some new faces and new teams in there. And that's what we should be celebrating. But instead, it's sort of carrying a bit of an asterisk because, you know, the Suns got a little bit lucky on their way through with obviously Kawhi Leonard not being there in the last round against the Clippers. And for the Bucks, I mean, they got a little bit lucky, even though they were missing their star as well, Giannis, for the last couple of games here. So people will sort of pick and choose that if they want. But ultimately, I think still we're seeing two teams, because the Suns were the second best team in the Eastern Conference and the Bucks were the third best in the Western Conference. So, excuse me, I got that around the wrong way. But the point is, it's not like we're seeing a number eight seed battle a number seven seed. You know, these two teams both had legit shots at the title with or without the injuries. And so the fact that they've got there, I think, is still, you know, this is going to be a deserving champion, whoever it is.
The Suns didn't have to face Kawhi Leonard in the conference finals, one of the better defensive players in the league. Milwaukee's a very good defensive team. How good are they without Giannis on the defensive end?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously they miss him because Giannis just sort of covers up so many gaps for them as far as contesting shots at the rims and just grabbing those rebounds, and he's able to switch out. You know, we saw that against Trae Young in those earlier games in that last series as well, where Giannis is so versatile. He can get out, he's fast enough to recover. But P.J. Tucker, we know he's just like a bulldog out there. He's a tough, rugged defender. You know, he's going to put his body on the line. He's going to fight whoever he's matched up against. And Drew Holiday, I mean, he's an all-NBA defender. He's a brilliant on-ball defender. And Chris Middleton doesn't have the reputation for being a good defender, but he's not someone who gets blown by very quickly. You know, he sort of holds his ground and perhaps just doesn't get the recognition he deserves. So, and then you've got Brook Lopez, who's just a big, you know, big center, an old-fashioned sort of style center. He takes up a lot of space. He contests a lot of shots, and he's not easy to get around. So I still think the Bucks have got a good, you know, solid defensive lineup here that will make it tough for Phoenix. The problem for Phoenix, or the problem, I guess, for the Bucks is that Phoenix moved that ball around so well, and they've got threats everywhere. You know, Chris Paul, we've seen it, and, you know, he can go and get his whenever he wants. Devin Booker has been brilliant at scoring the ball basically his entire career, but certainly been standing out a lot more in the playoffs. And then you've got Mikal Bridges, who's on the wing. You've got Jay Crowder, who we know can hit threes as well. And then in the middle, DeAndre Ayton has just been fantastic for them in the playoffs. You know, sort of pick and roll game. You've got that little mid-range floater game. It's really come along. So everywhere the Bucks look defensively, they have to stop a different type of threat. And that's where it certainly favors, I think, Phoenix in that sense, because they just have so many different ways of scoring and so many different options. So it's going to be a challenge, but, you know, Milwaukee has shown, you know, again, with Giannis, they can be the best defensive team in the league. Obviously, that makes it a little bit more difficult for them now in these first couple of games, but it's not like he was the only guy out there who made them the best defensive team in the league. The other guys contribute, and other guys know how to play good system defense, and now they really have to be locked in from the start against the Suns if they want to stay in this series.
Staying a little bit on the defensive side of it, DeAndre Ayton, in terms of what he might or may not be able to do in that center position against Milwaukee, how do you see that playing out? If Giannis can play, how much will he get that assignment on Ayton, and how much will Ayton be able to do against some of the big men for the Bucks?
Yeah, well, see, I think in this sense, Brook Lopez is quite a versatile big man, and in the sense that he can spread the floor. We know he can shoot those three-pointers, so I think he's going to probably try to drag Ayton away from the paint as much as he can. And if he's hitting those threes, that's great for Milwaukee. And if he's not, he's still a big enough guy that it's just going to be a handful for DeAndre Ayton to try to keep him under control in a sort of pick-and-roll game. So, you know, Lopez isn't as quick as Ayton, but he's just showed, especially against the Hawks as well. The Hawks, you know, had Clint Capela and John Collins, you know, as their bigs, and Danilo Gallinari came out there as well. But Lopez is just such a handful because he's just such a big, broad body that he's a tough matchup for whoever. And you know, he's got the sort of veteran experience that Ayton doesn't have, and that could be a little bit of an advantage there for Milwaukee. But Ayton has improved his defensive awareness and his defensive ability in the last, certainly this last season. So he has improved on that end. When he was a rookie, he was a terrible defender, but he's worked hard and gotten better at that. But, you know, so Lopez does offer Milwaukee an advantage to just try to keep Ayton guessing as to what they're doing. You know, like I say, is he going to spread the floor, or is he going to go inside and maybe try to body Ayton, get a few fouls on him and get him off the court? Because that could be a strategy that that Mike Budenholzer tries to exploit, because otherwise I think that the Phoenix Suns, the big man, they don't have a great rotation. You've got Dario Saric coming off the bench, or Frank Kaminsky. Neither of those guys really would be able to sort of control Lopez. And again, without Giannis in these first two games, I think that's something that Mike Budenholzer might just want to try to exploit as best as he can, because that could be some an avenue for Milwaukee to get some easy buckets and to try to put the pressure on Phoenix to have to respond. So, you know, Lopez is a good player. He was really good in game five against Atlanta, had 33 points, and, you know, mixed it up a lot. You know, had the mid-range game, had the threes, and he just was attacking the paint. So Milwaukee definitely needs that sort of Brook Lopez in these first two games in Phoenix to really put Phoenix under pressure. Because if they can steal a game in Phoenix without Giannis, I think that's going to be huge for the Bucks to do that. But they have to try to take advantage where they can of those mismatches. And it's not really a mismatch as such, as it's more just that Lopez is such a handful that DeAndre Ayton, you know, and he's the sort of guy who can get in foul trouble as well. You know, he's a younger guy, and if he gets a couple of fouls early on, that might be somewhere that Milwaukee has just a tiny advantage.
I love the fact that this finals is, whoever wins this is going to give us a good story. I think the fact that Phoenix has never won an NBA championship in that city, that sports in that city started with the Suns, and Milwaukee, as you mentioned, 50 years, but with Giannis, if he plays at all in these finals, is ready to take that next step. I think overall this could be a very good finals. I don't want to get into the prediction game with you, but overall, do you think this is, even without Giannis, do you think this is somewhat competitive, at least on paper?
Oh, yeah, absolutely it is, because, you know, we often sort of look and think, well, Phoenix, you know, they don't have any real injury concerns. They're at home. They've got the rest advantage versus the Bucks without their best player. But it just never sort of goes to script like that. You know, things always change. Teams always find out a way, whether or not it's Phoenix maybe taking, you know, becoming a little complacent themselves, saying, well, look, there's no Giannis. We should win this pretty easily. But it just doesn't follow that trend. I mean, if you only have to go back to the last time the Suns made the finals in 93, and they had home court advantage. Of course, they were going up against the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan, but the Suns couldn't win a game at home in that series. They won two on the road. You know, that was a series where, you know, only one team won a home game, and that was the Chicago Bulls in game four. So it just doesn't always follow what we sort of look at on paper and think, well, this should happen and that should happen. Teams have ways, and coaches find different ways to, you know, maybe it's a lineup change, maybe it's just some sort of strategy that we haven't seen before. And sometimes if it's a close game, it can just come down to a lucky shot as well. So I certainly think that despite the fact that we're missing Giannis for the first two games, the Bucks have shown, you know, they got embarrassed, remember, against Brooklyn in game two of that series.
That's
where
right.
They basically lost by 50. And I remember at the time thinking, they're going to get swept in this series. And they got out of that series. And then the Atlanta Hawks beat them in the first game on the road. And I thought, wow, the Hawks are going to actually upset Milwaukee here. And the Bucks come back and win that in six games. So, you know, it's just things can change very, very quickly from game to game within a series. And whether it's an injury, whether it's just a player getting hot like it was for Trae Young for the Hawks, where he had the 48 points in game one, things can just change on a dime. And it's almost as well for the Phoenix Suns. Things have gone so well for them. It's almost like they're due for something to go wrong. I mean, I know Chris Paul in the very first playoff game, of course, got injured against the Lakers. And we thought, well, typical, you know, as always, Chris Paul gets injured in the playoffs and he overcame that injury. But other than that, it's like things have gone so well for Phoenix. You're almost like, usually there's some heartbreak along the way. So
absolutely.
You know, maybe that'll happen. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But either way, I'm still very excited. I think we've got a great series coming up, and I can't wait for it to get started.
Lee Ellis of The Athletic. Always good talking to you, my friend. Enjoy the finals.
Thanks, Tony.
You got it. Quote, buy, and save on home insurance with Progressive New Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. All right, we'll wrap up the hour, but some of the things that he mentioned as we continue along on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loan options for your family. Rocket can. All right, thanks to Lee Ellis joining us. No Dunks Podcast and The Athletic on the NBA Finals. I do think that this... I hate to say it. I want to believe that this series could be really competitive even without Giannis. But if Giannis plays none of this, I just don't think it's going to happen. But man, he's right. Can you imagine if Milwaukee can get one game in Phoenix in the next two without Giannis and then get Giannis back for game three? Okay, now we're going to have some fun.
That would be amazing.
That would be great.
I can't see it, though.
I can't either. You know, there are cities in America that have had these championship droughts, whether it's I've never won a championship or we've gone 50 years or 110 years or whatever. And there's no joke. If Phoenix wins in the NBA championship, look, if Milwaukee wins, they haven't won it in 50 years. But if Phoenix wins, that's going to be a great celebration in Arizona.
But yeah, well.
Because, again, the Diamondbacks won the World Series, but that's really all they've gotten. And the Suns started it all. Jerry Colangelo in the desert, deciding to put a basketball team from the NBA in that city when it was mostly a kind of a sleepy desert town, you know, not the sprawling metropolis it is today. That'll be interesting. But again, game one starts on Tuesday. Thanks for joining us here on a Monday. We'll be back tomorrow. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.